Thank you, worship team. Well, I'm starting a new series this morning, and I'm simply calling it God Is, because I felt like, throughout our past series that we've done, we talked about trusting God, and if family really matters, it's got to begin with trusting God. And then Coach Mays kind of ended that series talking about trusting God as well. I just want to thank Coach Mays for sharing last week, and did such a great job. And so I just begin to think, in order for us to really trust God with everything that we have, we really need to know who He is. And so the way that I've done that over the last several years of my life, every morning I wake up and I just pray the names of my God. I pray through the Hebrew names, Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider, Jehovah Nissi, my banner, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Shalom, my peace. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to just talk about that, those characteristics of our God. But today, I wanted to start what I think is the most important name of all, that He so desired to create us and come into a relationship with us so that He could be our Father. That God is a good Father. And I want to give you a glimpse that God is a good Father. And right away, depending on your family of origin, that concept makes some of you react negatively, right? Because maybe you had a father, a dad that had all kind of issues. Maybe your dad wasn't there for you. Maybe you were raised by a single mom or passed around in the foster care system or raised by grandparents or relatives. Maybe you had a dad with his own issues, his own hang-ups, his own addictions, or maybe he was abusive to you in some ways. And you wish you had memories of a good father. You wish you had memories of fishing and hunting with your dad, or playing baseball or football, or him dunking you in a pool, or just one time. You wish that you would have saw your dad open the Bible, read it to your family, or praying with you. Listen. It doesn't really matter in the big picture whether your dad was good or whether he was bad, because God is better. God is a good Father, and He so desires to be in an intimate, forever relationship with each one of you. And this is what I know about a good Father, that no matter what your life experience has been, no matter what kind of dad you had in your life, here's a statement I think that every one of us can agree upon. That there's this unmistakable connection between love and provision. Would you agree with that? That if you truly love someone, you find great satisfaction, great delight, great joy in providing for them. The words, "I love you," are meaningless if they're not backed up by action. It must be, "I love you and I care about your needs." 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." I mean, it's unthinkable to neglect the people you call your own. And since we are created in the image of God, we possess this desire in our hearts to love and to provide for those that we love. So let me just ask, as I begin this series and as I begin to talk about God being a good Father, do you really believe that God is a good Father? Jesus in Matthew 6 begins to talk to those that are stressed and uptight. You can kind of tell when people are uptight. Jesus sees that they are stressed and uptight with everyday life. And look what He says. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be there for a little bit. Matthew chapter 6. Just encourage you to bring your word or maybe your device so that you can follow along in God's word and allow Him to really speak to you of the power of His word. Matthew 6, 25 is where we're going to be, is where we'll start. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." He's saying really that birds have no wrinkles, right? Birds don't have high blood pressure or migraines, no therapist, no life insurance, no barns filled to the brim with bird seed. The little bird is just one worm away from starvation. Birds aren't anxious. They don't worry. Built into this bird is the basic reliance on the good Father. Every day, the bird depends on the character of the good Father and His providing hand. Every day, the bird learns that the good Father will not let it down, that the good Father can be trusted. This little guy has learned to trust the good Father one day at a time. And then Jesus turns to the people and says, "Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes?" He says, "See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." I mean, this flower has no contingency plan, right? It's not on the brink of emotional collapse. Not concerned with how it looks necessarily. It knows that God will provide its needs. It will bring rain. He will bring rain and will cause the sun to shine on it. It learns over and over again that the good Father's character can be trusted and His provision is real. And in verse 30, Jesus says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, where is He today, which is here today and gone, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire? Will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" It's here today and gone tomorrow, but you have eternal value. You and I have eternal value. I've talked to you a lot about my dad, and I had a very good dad. He was my hero. My dad taught me everything that I knew to do and learned to do. He taught me how to throw a baseball, how to throw a football, how to, you know, throw a fly rod. He taught me all those things. And I've shared with you before that my greatest picture of my dad in my head is walking around the corner of my bedroom one night, late at night, and seeing my dad kneel down with his Bible open in front of him and his head really just kind of in God's Word, just talking to his God like he was his best friend. And it was such an impact on a young dude to see his dad doing that. And you know, and I remember one thing that I heard my father say as he was talking to God one time, and I don't really know exactly what he was meaning by this, but I think he was talking about us and his family, and all of a sudden he just said, "Yes, God, we can do this. We can do that, God." And as I look at my dad, there was always an unmistakable connection between love and provision. So Jesus says in verse 31, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, your good Father knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need. It doesn't say He will give you all you want, right? Why? Because of the connection between love and provision. Look at Paul's story in Philippians 4:6. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." Kind of sounds like what Jesus was just saying. And the cool thing about Paul is he's not staying in some Marriott when he's writing this, okay? I mean, he's writing these words when he is lonely, penniless, and sitting in a cold Roman prison. And yet he says, "Don't worry. Don't worry." He's been beaten, shipwrecked, hungry, thirsty, and homeless, and he says, "Don't worry." Why? Because he understood who his God was. That He was a good Father. Verse 19 of that same chapter, Paul says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." What do you think all your needs include? What does that mean, all your needs? Well, I mean, I think it means your physical and material needs. And let me just make sure you understand there's a difference between needs and wants, right? I mean, the youth had a Friendsgiving last Wednesday night, and somebody made banana pudding. It's my favorite banana pudding, and I love it. It was so organized. The wafers were just lined up perfectly, right? And I wanted some of that banana. I wanted to eat some before we even got started, but I knew I couldn't. You know, I wanted that banana pudding, but I didn't need that banana pudding, right? I didn't need it. A couple weeks ago, I got to drive a Porsche, right? I know it's just one of those things that happens sometimes when you're a pastor, you get to drive, and I'm driving this Porsche, you know, and I mean, I am, you know, I felt like I was flying, right? And it was just gripping the road. It was awesome. We had the, you know, it was a convertible. My hair was blowing in the breeze. No? Well, you know, in my mind, my hair was blowing. I mean, I was cool. I was right. And I, you know, I want a Porsche, right? I want a Porsche. But I don't need a Porsche, right? Amen. You can buy me one for Christmas if you want to. You. Please don't, no. But again, it doesn't mean that you're not responsible for the way you work and live. It's not giving us an excuse for laziness, an excuse to go on a wild spending pattern and say, oh, God will provide. No. He calls us to be good managers of all He gives us. God loves you so much that He is always working behind the scenes, arranging for the orchestration of His infinite resources to come to bear, to provide in your moment of need for an answered prayer. And He can do that in so many different ways. My oldest son, I share with you, he had a houseless ministry in Birmingham for many years, and he learned so much from that ministry and from those people that he was ministering to. But he said one of the greatest things he learns is this, that some of the most trusting people in the provision of God are those that don't have very much. You know, he said, every day, Dad, they live with a dependent attitude that God is going to have to show up today, just like He does for the bird and the flowers. And I know so many of you can tell stories of how God has come through in your life at just the right time. Stories of maybe not knowing where your next meal was going to come from, and all of a sudden on your porch is a sack of groceries just show up, right? Or you didn't know how you're going to pay the next electric bill, and all of a sudden there's this check that comes in the mail. It's so many stories that I know that you could share of God just showing up. And Hunter would say, you know, these people, God, Dad, they live with such a deep sense of trust in their God because they've learned He's such a good Father. And I know some of you are there, right? You live with this deep sense of trusting in your God because He has been there for you. He is a good Father. He meets your physical and material needs. But He also, I think it also takes in emotional and relational needs. He knows when you need a friend, when you need a listening ear, an arm around your shoulder, when you need an extra touch of His presence and His encouragement. When you're worn out and you're at the end of your rope and you can't go another step forward. When you're fearful of the future because you have lost someone you love very, very much. God knows when you're afraid for the results of a medical test that's coming up. He knows when you feel like there's no direction for you to turn, and God, in a way that only God can do, He sends a phone call or a note or a text or a person at just the right time with just the right words. He meets your emotional and relational needs. He'll also, most importantly, meet your spiritual needs. The deepest need of our soul, that hole that is in us that can only be filled with Him and with His presence. He wants to fill that spiritual need, to come into your life as your Lord and Savior, to be there with you and for you. I love the story of Johnny Erickson Tata. You probably know the story. When she was like 17 or 18, she jumped off into a pool of water, and it was too shallow, and she hit her neck and hit her head and broke her neck, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she's been that way for over the 50-something years in her life. But she tells a story of when she was in the hospital for many, many months, just kind of recover, trying to get to a place where she could somehow live She had a friend named Jackie that would come by and visit her, and they would sit there and just talk, and visiting hours would be over, and they would usher Jackie out. She's, no, I don't want to go. And they go, no, you got to get out. And so what she would do sometimes when they would push her out, she would go and hide in the waiting room. And then when everything was quiet, she would sneak back in and crawl up into Johnny's bed with her just to be close to her. And they loved this old classic hymn, and they would just sing this hymn together. It goes like this. The words are, Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And they would just sing that together. And Johnny said it brought her such comfort to remember that she had a Savior who suffered for her. That Jesus knew sorrow. He knew loneliness. He knew what it felt to be unable to move His body as He hung on the cross. And she said it brought incredible comfort to her. And you think about Johnny as a person with so little to give, right? Paralyzed from the neck down. And if you read her story now and you followed her through the years, it just blows me away of how she has impacted millions of people's lives with her story, speaking, singing, her artwork. She actually paints with her teeth. And, you know, go Google her and just see some of her paintings that she's done with her teeth. Recently, she had gone back to her high school reunion, and she was looking for Jackie and couldn't find. She began to ask people, you know, where's Jackie? Why is Jackie not here? And then finally, she finally met someone that said, hey, Jackie's got cancer, and she's just had treatment and surgery, and she's recovering from that. And so Johnny said she called her and just said, oh, Jackie, I wish you could be here. I wish I could be there with you. She said, if I was there with you, Jackie, I'd crawl up in your bed and we would sing Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Listen, He is a good Father. In Scripture, there are many different names used to describe God, and we'll look at those over the next few weeks, but and all those names are important, but I wanted to start with this one because there is in three places where the word Abba is attached to Father. They say Abba, Father. It's one of the most significant names of God, I think, because it begins to help me understand how He relates to us as His people. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that means Father, but it was a common term in those days that expressed affection and confidence and trust. That Abba signifies the close, intimate relationship of a father and his child, as well as the childlike trust that a young child puts in his daddy. And sometimes it seems to me almost irreverent to address God, who is seen by many as this distant God, right? Sometimes it seems like it's irreverent to address Him in such an intimate and loving way, to cry out, Abba, Father. But this is what Jesus dared to do. And I think what He dares us to do. And that is to have an intimate, loving relationship with the Almighty God. God, the King of the universe, that actually comes off of His throne, and He has pulled up a chair beside each of us and put His arm around you, and He is saying through His Son, Jesus, keep on asking. Matthew 7:7 says, He says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking at the door and the door will be open to you. I don't know about you, but as a parent, when my boys would come to me and begin to pester me for something, my response was this: if you don't stop asking me that, you're not going to get it at all. Right? Anybody? You know, quit asking me. No, if you don't quit asking, I'm not even thinking about it. But our God is completely opposite of that. He is saying, keep asking. I'm not bothered. You know, never stop asking. And so my advice to you as you step into this intimate relationship with your Abba Father is to say everything. Say everything. In the presence of the Father, say everything. Let Him listen to you. Big or small, whatever you need to ask Him, ask Him. He's not bothered by it. He is a dad, And I know the best time, you know, in my life when my boys were growing up is when they would come and just want to talk to Daddy, right? And just ask me for something or ask me how to do something. It was just, you know, that would be the best moment. And even now, as grown-up sons, you know, my best day is when they call and they just want to tell me about their day. God wants to do the same with you. He wants to listen to you. So this morning, I just want to give you three starter sentences to guide your prayers to the Father. The first one is this. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. I wake up every morning and I just give Him my thank yous. I step into the courts of thanksgiving, so to speak, and I just begin to thank Him for how He's blessed my life. You know, thank Him for for Kim, thank Him for my family, my boys, my home, this church, you, and my life. I just begin to give Him my thank yous. I say, Father, thank you. I mean, it can be even small things. Small things in my life that bring so much joy to me. I just begin to say thank you for little things, for things that you would think were weird. Because here's what I want, especially stepping into this season that we're in right now. I want to be the most grateful person on this planet. Because there's a correlation between how thankful I am and how much I worry or how content I am. So this week, I'm just going to thank Him for everything. And I encourage you to do the same. I'm going to thank Him for the rain to the Chipotle. Come on now. I'm going to thank Him for my shoes to my car. What are you thankful for? Can you think of one thing? Begin there. Step into the presence of your intimate Father, your Abba Father, and just say, Father, thank you. The second starter is, Father, help me. Father, help me. I love the passage in Isaiah 37. It's about King Sennacherib of Assyria, how he's about to come and attack Hezekiah. In verse 14, it says, after Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. I just love that. He spread out, you know, this is what's going to happen. This is what he's saying, God. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. He said, O Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods, the liturgy of these nations, into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all of his kingdom, all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Sometimes you just need to take the stuff of your life, the circumstances that are going on in your life, and you just need to spread them out before your God, your Abba Father. And you say, Father, I need some help here. Can you help me? You are the King of Kings. You are sovereign God. You just take your reports and you put them before your God and say, Father, help me. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, when your dad kind of would maybe stick out, a hand with some money in it, whether it was a quarter or whatever it is, you would see that and he'd go, hey, you know, and you would get so excited about that and you would know that you needed to get that quickly because, you know, my dad liked to play the game where he'd hold, you know, my quarter out and then he tried to get it back, you know, and so I'd run by and grab that sucker because I knew if I didn't, I would miss it, right? But if I do that with my Heavenly Father, I'll miss something else. Because He's offering me more than money, more than good health. He's actually offering me His hand, His strong hand. He so wants to help you. I love Psalms 37. It says this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. It's a strong hand. And he wants to help you.
Listen, you put a baseball in my hand, it's worth about $5. You put it in Justin Verlander's hand, $50 million. Right? You put a basketball in my hands, $25 at the most, probably is about LeBron James, $20 million. You give me a stick, right? And I can defend myself maybe from an angry dog. But Moses parts the Red Sea. You give me a slingshot, and I probably can knock a can off of a fence post at 3 feet. But David kills a giant. You give me fish and bread, and I maybe be able to make a sandwich. I mean, it's still questionable, but I probably can make a sandwich. But Jesus feeds thousands with leftovers. You give me nails and a piece of wood, and there's not going to be nothing, right? Nothing. But in the hand of Jesus, he saves the world. Listen, it comes down to whose hand it's all in, right? And so who do you turn to? He so wants to help you. His strong hand is there. Just say, Father, thank you. Father, will you help me? And then the third starter is, Father, use me. Father, use me. Use me to make a difference for you in my life, in my relationships. I've shared this story with you before. This is Ruth and Verona. They were born in 1984, and they have been inseparable ever since. And like many sisters, and particularly twins, they share everything. They share the same womb before they were born and the same room afterwards. They even shared the same bed every night. They shared the same toys, even shared one tricycle between them. But it went further than with most sisters or even twins, because Ruthie and Verona's bodies were fused together from their sternum to the waist. Though they had different brains and a different nervous system and distinctive personalities, they were sustained by a single three-chambered heart. They were literally inseparable because one could not survive without the other. And if the truth be told, when they were born, the doctors didn't think they would live at all or survive at all, but they did. They lived for almost 7 years. And in those 7 years, they learned to work together. For example, when it came to walking, their parents thought that they might take turns at walking forwards or walking backwards, or that one might dominate the other and always force the other one to walk sideways with them, almost to go where they wanted to go. But instead, they learned to walk sideways, almost like they were dancing. Dancing in the same direction. And so they relied on one another because separation was not an option. Listen, Jesus says nothing will separate us from His love. Nothing. But I think sometimes we think everything separates us from His love. But if you are a follower of Christ, He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from my love. And I so want to share a heart with Jesus. I want to think what He thinks, say what He says, do what He would do. I want to mimic and mirror Him so that He can use my life. One of my favorite exotic animals is the African impala. It can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet in distance. But they also are the easiest animal to fence in, because you can put up a 3-foot high fence that you can't see through, and they will just lay down because they won't jump unless they can see on the other side of the fence. And I think about that, and I'm kind of that way sometimes. The Bible says for us to live by faith, not by sight, to trust Him, to trust God, right?
Yet I struggle sometimes with stepping out in faith and letting God use me for His good and for His glory. I struggle sometimes saying, God, here am I, send me. How about you? Do you ever struggle with that? What is it that God puts in front of you that is a challenge? And you really want to jump, but you lack the faith to trust God enough to jump. Maybe it's as simple as forgiving someone or letting go of some sin habit or sharing your faith with someone. What is it that keeps you from being used by God? Will you trust God and pray, Father, use me? Three conversation starters. Father, thank you. Father, help me. And Father, use me. And this is what I begin to understand, is what we say is determined by who we say it to, right? Whoever we're saying it to, it will, we'll change what we say because of who we're saying it to. What we say is determined by who we say it to. So I get this. When you enter into the presence of the King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, in those moments, say nothing. Say nothing. Let Him reveal Himself to you. But when you enter into the presence of your Father, your Abba Father, whatever it is, say it. He is listening. It's the God I wish that we all knew. He's a good Father. And He promises us to meet all of our needs. He desires to be in relationship with you, no matter the cost, right? No matter the cost. I've shared this with you before, but if this room caught on fire, because of who I am in Christ, I would try to help each one of you get out. I would, keep coming back. But if my sons were in here, you better find somebody else to help you, because I'm going to help them first, right? It's the heart of a father. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that even though we're sinners, even though we mess up all the time, He gave up His Son. He sacrificed His one and only Son so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved, so that we could be rescued and in relationship with Him. God loves you so much. He provides for you even when it cost Him dearly. Even when it cost Him His one and only Son. He wants to be in relationship with you, to adopt you into a forever father and child relationship with Him. I love how Ephesians 1 says it. It says, how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before He made the world, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault. We who stand before Him covered with His love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And He did this because He wanted to. I love that. Listen, God didn't adopt you because you had something to offer Him. He adopted you because He had something to offer you. He chose you. He loves you, and He wants to listen to you. I just read Matthew chapter 3 in my regular reading through the Bible. And Matthew 3, 16, 17 is about the baptism of Jesus. Just reminded me of that moment. It's, when Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water, it says, and at the moment heaven was open. You remember this? And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." And you begin to think about that the Father was declaring over His Son what every human heart really wants. It's what you and I want to know, right? The truth that helps us understand that He is a good Father. The truth that says, I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Let's say that together, okay? Can we do that? Yeah, let's say that together, all right? One time. I am loved. Come on, come on, come on. I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. You can do louder than that. Let's go. I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Listen, when you begin to understand that truth, when you receive that good news into the depths of your soul, when you begin to understand that you are loved and you are a child of God and He is pleased with you, you will walk into a room differently. You will hold your head up high and you will kind of get, you know, a Coach Mays kind of strut, right? Because you begin to understand that truth, that you're loved, that you're a child of God, and that He's pleased with you. You can wake up every morning and you can look at yourself in the mirror, and even with your stinky, stinky breath, look at yourself in all of your glory, and you can say, I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Listen, He is a good Father. And everything you do, if you run it through that truth, that is who you are as a follower of Christ, He'll change you. And you say, well, Monty, I don't think He would say that about me because I really haven't done anything. I really haven't lived out my faith in a way that makes a difference. Listen, it's not about performance. In this passage here in Matthew, Jesus hadn't even started His ministry yet. You know, when God said that about Him, He hadn't even started His ministry. So listen, it's not about performance. It's about your position. It's about your proximity, your relationship that you have with Him through what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You are loved. If you're a follower of Him, if you've said yes to Him, you are loved. You are a child of God. And He is pleased with you. And so instead of looking at your anxieties, instead of looking at your worries or your circumstances, instead, look today to the good Father. Define and declare in your life that in the face of my worries, that in the face of my anxieties, in the face of my fears, I will choose to trust the love and provision of the good Father. Will you do that? And enter into this intimate conversation with Him where you're saying, Father, help me. Father, use me. Father, thank you for being a good, good Father. Pray with me, please. Just with every head bowed and just kind of every eye closed, kind of there in your place, just draw a circle around you and be still and be really quiet. And I just want to encourage you right now to begin to talk to your Father. Just cry out to your Abba, Father. He's listening. Say whatever you need to say. Some of you might be saying, well, Monty, who gets in on this provision? Who gets in on this love? Listen, it's available to everybody. But you must choose to live for Him and seek out His kingdom first. You must choose to seek Him first. It's up to you. If you want to be His adopted son or daughter, you just say yes to Jesus today. Right now, right where you are, just pray, God, today I choose to trust Your promises. I need Your love, oh God. I need Your provision, Your forgiveness. I need a Savior. And You provided Your one and only Son to pay for my sins. And so today, right now, I say yes to You. And I invite You in to be my Lord and to be my Savior. And all of us can say, God, I choose to follow You. for the rest of my life.
Father, as we step, as we sit in your presence, as we pray to you, we just cry out, Abba, Father. God, if we prayed those words right there, God, give us the assurance in our heart that we are your child now. That you have saved us through the gift, the sacrificial gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that by receiving that mercy and that grace, that we are forgiven. And we have eternal forever life with you. And so, God, as we are in your presence this morning, God, as sovereign Lord, as King of Kings, we bow on our knees and we just ask you to reveal yourself to us, God. Help us to understand more and more about who you are, God. Help us to understand your character more and more. And God, as we step into your presence as our Father, will you hear our hearts? God, thank you for being a God that listens to our words, to our needs, Father, to the things that are going on in our lives. You are a God that is ready to bless us in our material needs, in our emotional needs, Father, in our spiritual needs. So God, would you give us the courage to trust you as our Father, as our Abba, Father. God, as we come to you this week, may we just share with you our hearts each and every day, Father. May we just start with just thanking you for all that you've given us and blessed us with. Thank you for being who you are, God. Thank you for being our Father. God, as we lay out the stuff that's going on in our lives in front of you, the circumstances, the situations, the relationships, God, would you help us with those? Would you grow us in the midst of suffering and pain, in the midst of relationships, in the midst of your call in our lives? Father, would you just be there with us and help us and give us the strength of your hand with us? So that, God, you can use us to make a difference, not just in our own lives, but, God, make a difference in our world, in the place that you have called us, and to the people you have called us to. God, we are here. We are available. Send us, oh God. Use us. Use this body of believers. Father, thank you for being a good, good Father. And may we surrender our lives to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.